Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 John chapter 1? 2 John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13. I almost skipped over this part of the letter, actually. It wasn't intentional, but it just didn't really register with me. And I was traveling this past week, and my car broke down over near Oklahoma City. That was the day before yesterday, and I thought I'm not even gonna be able to make it. And so, thank God, the breakdown happened, you know, right at a repair shop. Literally, I pulled in for one thing, and when I got there, the radiator was busted and stuff started going all over the. And it happened literally when I pulled into the repair shop, and this was at this little podunk town. And thank you, Lord, that you got me somewhere where the car could be repaired. But be that as it may, I thought, well, I'm just going to do a message that I've done in the past, because I got home late yesterday afternoon. And Delene said, well, aren't you going to go on in the past? I said, well, there's really not much left of that letter. And then this morning, I looked back at the letter, and it's like the Lord impressed upon me, you know what, don't skip anything in this letter whatsoever. It's there for a reason, and it is here for a purpose. And so I had 1 hour to prepare this. And I thought, Lord, you're putting me to the test just a little bit too much. And so we're going to share what John has to say in the remainder of this letter. The title of the message, Why We Need More FaceTime. Now, before you come down on that title too much, let's understand what it means. Having many things to write to you. Verse 12. I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. A very brief letter. In fact, this is one of the shortest in the Bible, but it represents a communication between John the apostle and either a family in the church, or some scholars believe the church itself. I tend to take the position that this is a letter to the church, and in fact, the very final verse 13 plays into my leaning somewhat in that direction. But I do want to talk to you this morning about our communication between brothers and sisters in Christ in general, because that is really what this letter represents in part. It's a form of communication between two groups of people, the Apostle John and either a family or the church itself. Now, as you know, every once in a while, I do harp a little bit upon social media. And it's been demonstrated that social media is somewhat of a root cause of many problems in our society today. You may or you may not agree with that, but there is some indication that indeed it is. We tend to say things over a computer or a phone that we might not say if we were face to face with each other. What is worse is, I think oftentimes we hide behind social media because you can get away with hiding your true emotional state. Isn't that true? Even worse is that many young people have fallen into these various traps through social media. It's not unusual to read about someone who is a person who represented themselves as something that they were not, and they lured their victim ultimately into some form of either sexual assault or sometimes even resulting in death. Now then, of course, we have the countless scams. Have you ever been taken in by some form of a, you know, marketing scam over social media? And in the old days, there was really only two ways to shop. How many of you remember going through a catalog? All right, some of you say, what is a catalog? All right, well, you know, the catalog, we had the Sears catalog. I don't know if you're related to the Sears, John, but anyway, we had the Sears catalog. Any pennies in here? We had the JCPenney catalog. I liked it was JC Whitney. It was the Whitney catalog, because I liked messing with my car when I was a teenager. And if I wanted a 4-barrel instead of a 2-barrel on my pickup truck, I went to that catalog. That has all changed. We no longer do things through catalogs. Mostly we do our shopping many times online, and we go to Amazon, but we also, much of our interaction has become an online experience. I don't know how many of you remember what a phone booth is. The phone booth, the glorious phone booth. I mean, it used to be, I think it's wonderful we have cell phones because, you know, when I'm traveling, it's great to be able to communicate with my wife, my family, you know, call up on the cell phone. Used to be, when you wanted to communicate, you had to go to a phone booth. And I don't know how many of you remember those phone booths. But back in those days, there was these phone booths. They were at almost every gas station. You can't hardly find them now. They were on the street corners. But the phone booth, we were so thankful for the phone booth. I mean, even Superman, you know, he changed his clothes, you know, there in the phone booth. And so, you know, the phone booth, we remember with the great memories. They had their place. But in John's day, there was basically, you either communicated through messenger or you communicated by letter. This is a communication by letter. And so we take a look at this final passage and we see that we can discover how we are to communicate within the church and have the most impact within each other's lives. Now, there are many ways that we can apply this passage today. I almost skipped over it, but I look at it and I go, this is an applicable passage for our day and our time. We apply it to personal communication. We can also apply this to church attendance, I think, as a whole, especially, you know, during the pandemic. I mean, it became almost a necessity to view church online or to listen to messages online. And we need to examine this practice in light of what John has to say in this final section of his letter. Because to be quite frank, many people never came back to fellowship. There are many people out there who still are online and they don't want to come back into the church. Number one, why we need to communicate. Beginning of verse 12. Having many things to write to you. Now, let's face it, we are all different when it comes to communication. Now, some of you, you're very quiet. You're very reserved. Some of you, you're very outspoken. Some of us, we speak when we are spoken to. I grew up in a very remote environment. When I was a kid, my best friend was my horse. That was it. We didn't have any neighbors. There was nobody around. We had these four kids, we were siblings, but we had no neighbors. You couldn't go to a neighbor because there was no neighbor unless, you know, you could walk miles down the road. We lived so far out, we were remote. This was till I was about 10 years old. And so I did not develop any type of basic social, you know, and I just was a quiet person. But as soon as my parents were divorced, about 10, we had to move to the city, lived with my mom. That was a culture shock. I had to learn to talk, you know, somewhat, to communicate with others, because I was in the city. But I was a very quiet and I was a very reserved person. And so that when we, you know, when I could, as soon as I could, 15 years old, I moved back to that remote environment in Montana, eastern Montana, lived in the plains and the prairie. And that was how I wanted to live. But then I went to college, and I kept to myself, and I was still a very quiet, very reserved person, but then I met my wife, Delene. I met her actually in college. Now, Delene and I, we are somewhat, in this regard, we are somewhat opposites. I'm very quiet, and I'm very reserved, and if you know Delene, she is very outgoing. You know, she talks, and I mean, when you're with Delene, you're going to have a conversation. With me, you might have a conversation, you know, almost with yourself sometimes, because I don't talk a lot. Those of you who know me, you know it's true. But it became an obstacle to the relationship and that I was so quiet. I think Delene came to the point, she once told me later on, she said, you know, if you didn't start talking, I don't know if I could have stayed with you. I mean, it's difficult to have a relationship with those who do not communicate. And so we understand that there needs to be mutual communication within the church, within the body of Christ, within our relationships. And the question is, how best do we communicate? Now, at the root of communication, there is this need to express something that we want another person to hear. Today, we usually do our communication online. Many of us post to a large audience, Facebook. I will say I tried it for a while, and I know I offended some people because I didn't give them a like, you know, on what they said. And then I found it was just time consuming, you know, to always look for, you know, everybody I need to like. And you know, I honestly didn't like that. But we look at this communication, and one of the problems I had with it was that it was like it was a minute by minute update on everything you were doing. Have you ever noticed that? In online communication, everybody knows what you're doing all the time. It goes like this. Man, I just got up and I just woke up and got out of bed. LOL. Man, I'm going to go brush my teeth now. LOL. And, you know, hey, I use Crest. What kind of toothpaste do you use? LOL. I mean, there's all this crazy communication. It is absolutely useless and it's absolutely worthless, but it's just what we've come used to doing. It's constant online communication. It's been demonstrated that too much of this online communication, it is not healthy for the mind. It is not healthy for the body. In fact, it's been discovered that, just it's been in the news recently, they've done studies on this, too much online communication is not a healthy way to live. But in the church, when we talk about communication, we use the word fellowship. Now that word fellowship, it's a Greek word, it comes from the word koinonia, and it means the sharing together of something that we have in common, fellowship, essential to the church. Let me read to you out of 1 John, the first letter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, why? That your joy may be full. John describes in this passage, really, what is the basis for our fellowship, for our gathering together as a church of believers? He said that we have fellowship with the Father, and we have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. I have fellowship with the Lord. You have fellowship with the Lord. And together, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. But in the church, we look at this fellowship, and we discover that it is part of our communication, our sharing together with each other. In the online world, a mutual connection we refer to, for instance, on LinkedIn. Some of you are, you know, you belong to that. You get connections with other people. We don't think of that as fellowship because it's not. It's just a connection. And many times people go to church simply to make connections. There are many large church organizations, we are not one of them obviously, where people simply go to make connections because it's good for their personal life or it is good for their business. That is not fellowship. John is saying that we have fellowship because we are all connected together through Jesus Christ. We have a love for Jesus. We have a love for His Word. We have a love for the body of Christ. And because we have this love, it's fellowship, and we share that together. And I think it's wonderful that we have this fellowship. I have found this to be somewhat of a supernatural connection. And the reason I say this is because I can be traveling anywhere in the world. And I've traveled on airplanes, I've traveled on buses, different places. If you meet another fellow believer, isn't it amazing how much you have in common immediately? You can meet somebody, you've never seen them before. You don't know who they are, they don't know who you are. But you have this conversation and you discover, hey, I'm a believer. Well, you know I'm a believer too. And you begin to share your testimony, and there's this mutual, wonderful love for Jesus that you share together. You have immediate fellowship. And I think it's a wonderful miracle, the fellowship that we have around Jesus. The question then becomes, what is the most effective way for you and I to have fellowship? Well, how can we communicate with each other in a manner that is most impactful? Is there one way that is preferred above others? And that is what John tells us here. Number two, the best way to communicate, John writes, verse 12, having many things to say unto you. Now, John said that there is a lot that he wants to communicate. John's desire to communicate, it comes from the fact that he longed to have fellowship with the church, with these people. This longing to communicate was not because John was just a talkative person. You know, Sarah and I, we have a kind of a little running joke. We talk about sometimes have, if you've ever been with somebody who wants, you know, say, I'd like to hear more about you, but then they continue to talk about themselves nonstop. And it's like, oh, I want to hear more about you. And then they continue to talk about the, and we joke around about that, and it becomes quite hilarious when we have these one, you know, sided run-on conversations. But it really happens. Sometimes within the church, there is self-absorption. There is this opportunity to, in essence, you know, you get with somebody and they become your audience. And so the conversation becomes one-sided. When I read this, I thought, now is that what John was saying? Having many things to write unto you. I have so much I want to say to you. Does this really mean that John wants to do all the talking? Now, I don't believe so. What John is saying is that he wants fellowship, and within the context of this fellowship, there is much that he wants to share. His sharing is not because John wants to just talk about self. John wants to share what the Lord is doing in the ministry. In other words, everything that is shared from John, it centers upon the person of Jesus Christ. And that is the difference between fellowship and just talking. Many times we label something as fellowship. We refer to something going on in the church as food, fun, and fellowship, but it really should be food, fun, and talking. Because it's not necessarily genuine fellowship, because fellowship revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. Now, to be frank about it, I have to say this. I often prefer having fellowship with others that do more talking than myself. Now, that is just my personality. It's not my nature, and some of you, you understand, it may not be your nature to be talkative. So you get together with somebody else, and you enjoy listening. You enjoy hearing about them. And you don't necessarily feel comfortable about opening up about everything about yourself. And so you have this reservation, and, you know, I'm that way. And you, on the other hand, you might be like, when I get together with somebody, I like to share. I like them to share with me. But I like to hear others share, and when I share with others, I want it to be words that are meaningful. So John writes, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. What this tells me is that if John were living in the modern day, he wants to communicate personally. He prefers not to use social media. If John had social media, I don't think he would be using it that much. He prefers not to text. He prefers not to post. He basically said, I could write a lot to you. I could post a lot to you. I could text a lot to you. He said, but you know what? I'm not going to. I want to come to you. He said, I have a lot to say, but I don't want to say it in writing. I want to say it in person. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face. And I titled this message, Why We Need More FaceTime, because it's a play on words, and we all know, you know, about FaceTime on the iPhone. But John here, he's not referring to any form of electronic communication. When John uses the phrase face-to-face, he means that he wants to get together personally. Hebrews helps us to understand this principle. Look at verse 25 of chapter 10. What does it say? It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that we need to be together in person. He said there are some that won't, but that's not a good thing. Texting, I think texting can be a great way of sharing a word of encouragement. I have received some wonderful words of encouragement through online communication. So it's not that it is not effective. It can be. But it's limited. Many of you know that my very closest, dearest friend passed away. He went home to be with the Lord a couple months ago. His wife had sent me a note and said, you know, he's not going to be here much longer. If you want to be with him and spend some time with him, you know, you need to do so now. It is true, I could have called. He lives, you know, over in Southern California. And I had to make a business trip to Oklahoma. And so after I was done in Oklahoma, I went immediately to Southern. It was a long trip. But you know what? I was determined that I was going to see this man in person. I wanted to be with him face to face because I understood that in a face-to-face relationship, in a face-to-face fellowship, there is something that you can experience that you will never experience in any other way. And that essentially is what John is telling us. He's saying there are limitations to writing. There are limitations to texting. There are limitations to calling on the phone. And we need to determine that when we have fellowship with one another in the church, there needs to be a personal aspect to it. And we need to come face to face. You will notice with me that this Hebrews 10:25, it's all about encouragement. Fellowship, it is meant to be a form of encouragement between fellow believers. There should be a time of being together face to face where we have the opportunity to encourage one another. Now listen, I got to say that I just have to explain this because a couple of weeks ago, I taught a message on to tame the tongue. You remember that message? I'd gone out to eat right after that. I just had soup. And I have a tooth that was, you know, had died a number of years ago, and it was still in there. And after I was done with the soup, it just fell out. It was like, I'm walking out the door, and I thought there was something in between. And the tooth just fell out. And I felt so bad because it's like normally I'm up in front of you smiling and laughing, and it's like, but I've got a tooth missing. And so, you know, within the realm of fellowship, there is laughter, there is smiling, there are facial expressions. And if you don't see mine, it's because, you know, I don't want to distract you by this missing tooth. Later in private, I'll give you a good smile. But there is an element of encouragement when people come together. And so Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he said this. He said, so encourage each other, build each other up, just as you already are doing. In other words, the church of Thessalonica, they were known for their encouragement. They were known for coming together. They had this reputation of building one another up, and that is what the church is to be. I think this is one of the great calls. It is one of the great responsibilities that you and I have towards one another. Church was never intended to be a consumer event. It was never intended to be a place where we simply come and we consume and we take in and we take in and we take in and we don't give out. It is a place of giving to one another. But sadly, in our modern church, we have so much going on that we don't view church as a place where we can both be encouraged and be an encourager. Now, there are some caveats to this. You may come to a church. You may be new in the church. Now, when you're new in the church, I don't believe that you're going to go up to every person and immediately have fellowship. It could be that you are going through a trial, and what you need is encouraging. You're not to be the encourager at that time. It could be that you had a bad experience at the last church you went to. And sometimes you need to just go somewhere you need to be where you can be encouraged and just, you know, accepted and welcomed into the congregation. But there's another reason. We do need to be careful, even in the church, who we fellowship with. I cannot emphasize this enough. You don't just go into a church and immediately start fellowshipping with everybody. You are to have a discernment. There is to be a time where you get to know a person and you need to discover whether this person is a true, are they a genuine believer in Jesus Christ? Because that is the only basis whereby we have fellowship, is a mutual sharing and a mutual love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do need to be careful. Number three is simply this. Being together brings joy. Notice what he says, but I hope to come to you and I speak face to face. Why? That our joy may be full. In this case, he even says that your joy may be full. John was mostly concerned about the joy within the church. There was nothing selfish about John. There was nothing selfish about John's desire to be face to face. He didn't say, let's get together so we can just all have a good time. He said, I want to see you because you will have more joy. I will have more joy. If we talk together, if we're together in person, there is going to be more joy. Now, John didn't come right out and say this, but this is the foundation for joy within the church. When believers come together in person, there is a reason why there is more joy. Let's look together, because these are the words of Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 20. Listen to what Jesus said. For where two or three gather together as my followers or in my name, I am where? There. I am there among them. It seems to me that wherever Jesus is, there is joy. And that is the miracle of coming together as a body of believers. When we come together, when we come face to face, when we spend time with each other, Jesus said, that's what I want. And when you're in that place of fellowship, he said, you know, there only needs to be like two or three of you. It didn't mean that there has to be a whole big church full of people. It just says, hey, when there's just a few of you, I'm there and I'm with you. That does not have to be in the church building. It could be in a church parking lot. You're gathered together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you. You can be in a restaurant. You can be at a coffee shop. You can be in your home. But where you come together and you come around in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, you know what? I want to be a part of that meeting. I want to be there in that gathering. And he comes and he says, I am there and I'm with you. The joy that comes from the Lord, it's not just because, you know, you're sitting beside this person or they're sitting beside you. There is a spiritual presence. The Lord, when he is part of our conversation, the Lord, when we gather together in his name, the Lord, when we identify him as the sole purpose and the central part of our fellowship, he said, when you are doing that, he said, I come and I'm in your presence. We are here, we are teaching about him, we are teaching about his word, and what that means, you know, you come in and I don't know but that you think about the presence of Jesus. But either Jesus is here right now or he misrepresented himself. And I believe he's here because he said and he promised, where there is more than one or two or three of you, you're gathered together in my name. He said, listen, I am with you. There is a reason why when I greet you, I say we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no other reason to gather together as a church. Because we have Jesus, and he is the central focus of our fellowship, supernatural presence. Now, I do want to say this about social media, and I'm not saying this just so my computer tablet will stop acting up. I'm being very serious about this. I think there's some really good things about social media. I think there are some wonderful things about online technology. It's doubtful I would have done this in 1 hour, you know, without having some technology and being able to type whatever 65 words, you know, a minute. The technology is good. It can be very beneficial. Social media, some of the posts, I mean, it's like you have the opportunity to reach many people with a good message. And many times, you know, when we use it responsibly and we use it correctly, you know, you can actually minister to other people by something that you send. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be an article. It might be a saying. It might be something. But you get it out and a lot of people read it, and I think a lot of people can be encouraged. So I'm not really so down on social media when it is used for the glory and the purposes of Jesus Christ. I think it can be very effective. But I think that we need to be careful. And it's not that Jesus cannot show up in a phone conversation, because he can. Because where two or more are gathered together, yes, that conversation can take place over the phone. And if you're like me, I've had conversations over the phone where I could not be together in person. And it's been wonderful. You sense the presence of the Lord even within the conversation. Like he's leading and he's directing and he's guiding, you know, the words. What can happen? So what is John talking about? He's just saying, listen, he said, you know, in all your ways of communicating, he's saying in the ways that I have available to communicate, I have a lot to say. I'd like to write a lot. He said, but I'm not going to write it. I want to come see you. I want to be with you in person. I want to spend time with you. I want to see your face. I want you to see mine. Because when we come together like that, there is an encouragement and there is a joy that can be replaced in no other way. And when we gather together, like this, Jesus says, hey, listen, I'm in the midst. I'm with you. I'm right there. We are fellowshipping together. Fellowship is a wonderful joy. I do have to say, personally, it took me a lot of work with the Lord to get to the place where I ever wanted to even be around Christians. I spoke to you about my friend Floyd, who just passed. He witnessed that. He was a part of how God used. He used him to help me to. I would never be up in front of you today had it not been for the Lord sending somebody to just keep encouraging me and getting me up. I wouldn't go on a men's retreat. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to sleep in the same room. Thankfully, there was a balcony. And that's where I went. That's where I took my cot. Everybody thought I was kind of a little nutty. Well, I'm not going to sleep in this room full of people. I'm still hesitant about that, by the way. I still look for the balcony. It was snowing. I was out on the balcony. That was my issue with being around other believers. When people would come up to me, and, you know, Delene remembers these days, they would want to give me a big hug, and I would put out my hand like this. No way. I'm not a hugger. You're lucky to have me even here. That's how it was back in those days. But that wasn't God's way for my life. That's not what he wants for me or for you. I know maybe some of you're a little shy or reserved, or you might have even had a bad experience at a church. But the Lord really desires that you become and I become a people that really love each other in a very personal way, face to face. And that within the context of that love, we just share the Lord Jesus Christ with each other. What he's doing in our lives. What is Jesus doing in your life? What is he doing in my life? Does that mean we can never tell a joke? Well, if you come here, you know, and you don't want a joke, you might as well go somewhere else, because your first thing you're going to do is meet Pastor Chuck. And you can't get Pastor Chuck, you know, past him without a joke at some point within your fellowship with him. It doesn't mean that we cannot have light and fun conversation. It just means that our relationship is to center around the person of Jesus Christ. This is not a social club. This is the body of Christ. And he wants to be here where we gather together in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, we thank you that we can have this wonderful joy of fellowship and coming together as a body of believers. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you that you prompted to carry on in this letter and not skip anything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we ask now that you just take the word that you have given and, Lord, just strip out any meaningless parts to this word, and really, Lord, may those words from the Holy Spirit just really stay with us. May we, Lord, really hear from you about this important aspect of our relationship with each other and with you. Lord, I thank you for helping many, so many, myself included, to really overcome our aversion to person-to-person gatherings, and Lord, that you enable us, Lord, and you can take us beyond what our personality or our background or our experience. Maybe it's been a bad church experience somewhere else. We feel guarded. Or maybe it is a trial, and we just need encouragement. And so, Lord, we want to take this very seriously, Lord, and that we can give out to others in a meaningful way around your son Jesus, the fellowship that we share together. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking as I was putting this together, I was remembering a message that Joel Osteen did about the dangers of eating shrimp. I think that, you know, about a quarter of the church left. I was thinking about this, you know. Hey, if a quarter of you go because I spoke out against social media, it's going to be a very small service next week. You know, they can afford to lose a few, but hopefully in anything that's been said, you understand the heart of it is not just a personal grievance against something. It is truly is the heart. At the heart of this is just really what the Lord Jesus wants for the church is that he does want us to put down the technology more often and be personal with each other. And we just happen to live in a day and an age where I think technology has just taken over. It's taken over our relationships. It's basically taken over our lives in many cases. And John wasn't speaking out against technology, but he was just speaking up for face-to-face. And so that's what this is all about. And it's not intended to offend. If you happen to be one who's on social media every day, it's not that you need to completely like, amen, Pastor Sid, get rid of it. No, I didn't say get rid of it. I think it can be used responsibly. But don't make it a replacement for coming here or getting together elsewhere, face to face with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because they need you face to face, and you need them. In Jesus' name, amen.